Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. Appreciate this old Bible, don't you? Amen. The Bible said, and I'm going to be getting into this a little bit tonight, but I just want to back up into verse number 8 and come on down in verse number 9. Being found in fashion as a man, he, this is speaking of Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, tonight I pray you'd breathe on your word, breathe on your servant tonight. God, breathe on us that we might receive the word of God this evening, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I was thinking as we were listening to the prayer request and thinking about Israel, and something was said about Brother Benjamin Netanyahu. We know that nationally that the Jews have been blinded right now, but they're still God's chosen people. And we know that, I like what he said a while back in a speech. He said, you know, if America, whether America stands with us or not, we're going to stand. And I like that. Amen. I like that spirit. And I believe that ought to be the way we are as Christians. Jesus is our Savior. Whether anybody else stands with us or not, we ought to just stand. Amen. The Bible said, having done all, to stand. And there was a preacher, Brother J.W., was telling me about it a while ago. We went on a tour over to Israel, and the bombs were going off. And the man that was conducting the tour, he said, does that make you nervous? He said, well, yeah. He said, I've never been around where bombs were going off. You know, they have that iron dome. They shoot them out of the air and things of that nature there around Jerusalem. And he said, over in America, he said, you all have your guns. But he said, over here, he said, we have God. So it doesn't make them nervous, is what he was trying to say, because the bombs are going off. Amen. I'll tell you, there was a time, I'm reading a book right now that Brother Joe gave me, entitled Truth Decay. There was a time in America, amen, when we could say that we nationally, we have a God, amen. And now we can say that as a remnant, but I'm afraid we can't say that as a nation anymore, amen. Our nation's turned to a bunch of little G-O-D-S's, amen, and turned away from the capital G-O-D of the Bible, the God of the Bible and His way. But that doesn't change the fact that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. In chapter number 2, we saw in the first few verses here, the first 4 verses, there was exhortation, a very warm exhortation that was given from Paul to the people at Philippi. And then we saw in the life of Jesus in verse number 5 through verse number 8, a wonderful example. Jesus set the example for us. The Lord doesn't just exhort us in how that we should live, but he set the example for us in how that we should live. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? Giving us an example. And you know, one of the things that really speaks to my heart is that's what God expects of me in this church, is to set the example. That's what God expects of me in my home, to set the example. Amen. And I'll say this tonight, somebody is following every one of us. Amen. You don't get to vote on that. Amen. Somebody's watching your life, and somebody's watching my life. I'm glad when they watch the life of Jesus even though they picked at him, even though they tried to trip him up in his words, they could find no fault in him. Amen. He was a wonderful example. Now tonight we're going to get down. We started on this last Wednesday night, and I'm not going to review all of that, but we started on verse number 9 there, where God hath given him a name that's above every name, and his name shall the Gentiles trust. We believed on his name. We ask in his name. And we know that he's at the right hand of God the Father. He's exalted. I was telling the folks last night at Young at Heart, one of the things that the Lord has spoke to my heart about in recent days is that the disciples and everything that they saw Jesus do, all the miracles that they saw, and all the healings that they saw. You know, someone said, and I guess it's true, when you read the Bible, if Jesus attended a funeral, the procession turned into a parade. Amen. They just couldn't nobody die around life. Amen. I believe with all that they saw, there could have been a lot of things that they asked for. But they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They didn't ask the Lord to teach them to preach. They didn't ask the Lord to teach them to win souls. But they asked the Lord, teach them to pray. I've often wondered, we're talking about now this man that's been highly exalted. He's at the right hand of the Father. You say, well, where did that praying come in? Guess what he's doing tonight? He's making intercession for us. Amen. That's where that came in. He's not just sitting there. My dad used to say, like a knot on a log. Amen. He's not just sitting there, but he's praying for you and praying for me. Jesus said, John 17, he said, I pray not for these only, but for all them who through these shall believe. Amen. And Hebrews tells us he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Let me ask you a question tonight. Who are you interceding for? How many believes we ought to be intercessors? We ought to be interceding. Amen. I tell you, I thank God tonight. God still hears and answers prayer. Amen. We're not the kind that teach and preach that stuff where you run into the throne room of God and tell him what to do. I tell you what, we can ask him. Amen. He knows what we have need of even before we ask. Amen. You know what? I don't really know what Brother Fred needs. But I sure do love talking to the one who does know what Brother Fred needs. Amen. You say, preacher, well, it's easy sometimes to know what people need. Well, it is when people need the Lord. That's easy. Amen. And we don't have to worry about praying in the will of God when we're praying for somebody to be saved. But thank God tonight, he's exalted him, given him a name that's above every name. I want to paint a picture tonight now, get right on through this. I'd like to finish down to verse number 11 tonight, if the Lord will help me, just a few minutes here. The Bible said here, the Bible said he's highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. Listen to Hebrews 1:4. The Bible said, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You say, preacher, how did he do that? Well, let me turn back to Hebrews. Turn there with me for just a minute. Boy, this is a verse that I remember hearing Brother Jones the first time. He was in a Rock of Ages conference in Ohio, Massillon, Ohio. And Brother Jones preached 3 or 4 messages out of this one little text right here. The Bible said here, in God who at sundry time, verse 1, these divers manners spake in times past to the Father by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, in the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. Watch this now. When he had, here's what Brother Jones magnified, by himself. By himself. He didn't need any help. Amen. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? There's never been an angel that by himself has been able to do what the Savior did. Amen. The angels are created beings. The Savior is the Creator. The Bible said here, being made much better, so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels hath he said at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Look at Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 9. The Bible said, But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Watch that. He's got a name that an angel can never measure up to, but yet he was willing to be made lower than the angels. And what I want to paint a picture of right here is how come he's exalted. And how he's exalted. Watch, you'll see in just a moment. There's an order in the Bible. And it'll be the same order in your life and in my life if we're going to be exalted in the Lord. Let me show you here. The Bible said, he's made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death. I love this. For every man. I don't know what a hyper-Calvinist does with that. Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you, he didn't taste death for just a few. He tasted death at Calvary for every man. Every man, woman, boy, and girl. He tasted death for every man. Now watch this. The Bible said here in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12, And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. But he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Here it is. Jesus first humbled himself, became obedient unto death. Then you get to verse number 9, and God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. What's the order in the Bible? The Bible said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Can I tell you, we're living in a generation, amen, that wants the pie in the sky. Amen. They won't take a stand for God because somebody might mock. Somebody might, amen, lock us up one of these days for telling the truth. But thank God here the Bible said, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Paul said in Romans 8:18, For I reckon that sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. He said, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. In other words, what we want, my friend, listen, to understand is, before the crown, there's a cross. Amen. It's not crown-wearing time tonight, but it's cross-bearing time that we might wear a crown one day after a while. Amen. And cast that crown at the feet of the Savior. Amen. The Bible said, Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What I'm trying to get us to see tonight is the order. There's humility and there's humbling of ourselves. The Bible didn't tell us to pray for God to humble us. The Bible said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Amen. And he will exalt you in due season. Amen. Listen tonight to what the Word of God said over here in Revelation 1:6. The Bible said, And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Bible said in Revelation 5:10, And hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I want you to see the order here now. Everybody likes to think about that and think about the day when Jesus comes and he catches us up and he exalts us. But I'll tell you this right now. There's a whole lot of people going to miss that because they've never humbled their heart before God. We have to humble our heart to get saved. And I'll say this tonight. It might appear to be service, but there's no real service apart from humility. It might appear to be prayer, but there's no real prayer apart from humility. Amen. Listen to what the Bible said in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. How many believes that tonight? I believe if we want God to honor our life, honor our church, then we must humble ourselves, amen, under the mighty hand of God. You say, preacher, I don't know what that has to do with Philippians. It has everything to do with it. Notice, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow. Listen to Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. How many remembers how that sin began? The record is in the Bible. How that angel, Lucifer, said, I will exalt my throne above the throne of God. Remember that? I will. The big I got in the way. Amen? And I'm going to tell you something right now. One day, his destruction will be final. He's already been defeated at Calvary. Amen? The prophecy was right there in the book of Genesis. Where I think it's Genesis. Let me turn back here and read it. Genesis 3, is it 3:15? I believe it is in the Word of God concerning the Lord. He said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. He's talking to Satan. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I'm telling you, Jesus was prophesied right there in that. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. And then he says it again, and before honor is humility. We want the Lord to honor our lives, to honor our work, to honor our testimony, to honor our church, to honor our home, then we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. The Bible said in verse number 10 in Philippians chapter 2, as we move on tonight, the Bible said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. I'll give you a couple references tonight. The Bible said in Isaiah 45:23, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. You'll run into people once in a while. They said, I'll never bow. I tell you what, they can say whatever they want to. God said they will. Amen. I'll tell you, people can harden their heart. They can stiffen their neck. But one day they're going to be cut off. And that without remedy. Amen. But they will bow. They will bow. If I understand anything about the Bible, it's like this. Bow here while you can be saved, or bow later when it's too late to be saved. Amen. But every knee will bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Bible said in Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Here's something I didn't realize. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 5 for just a minute. Revelation chapter number 5. I'm still kind of amazed sometimes at how that you can read something over and over and really not grasp it or miss it. But I didn't realize this. I was studying this time and it just dawned on me as I was reading this verse again. Let me read it in its context. Let me start reading in verse number 11 of chapter 5 of the book of Revelation. The Bible said, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now watch this. I didn't realize. I've read this over and over and over, and I didn't see it. Look at verse 13. And every creature. Now it's getting out of just the realm of the redeemed. I didn't see that. Watch. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. You see, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 24 beasts said, amen. What are you saying, preacher? Hey, one day everybody, amen, whether they like it or not, are going to confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everyone, every creature, heaven, earth, under the earth, in the sea, it don't matter where they are. They're going to confess. They're going to confess. Watch this. The Bible said in verse number 11, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If you look at verse 10 again, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. See how that ties in with Revelation? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let me give you a couple things the Lord spoke to my heart about this afternoon as I thought about this. Jesus said, you call me, John 13:13, you call me Master and Lord. And he said, you say well, for so I am. I like that. I keep thinking of a lesson that Brother Brian brought a little while back. He didn't say I was. He didn't say I will be. He said I am. The Lord is. Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly. You can know this for sure. That God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. It's a done deal. Amen. Romans 14:9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord. Watch this now. Tied in with these verses here in Revelation up here in verse number 10. That he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Every one of them is going to confess one day that Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. He is Lord tonight. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. He said, preacher, they said all kinds of things about Jesus. Yes, they did. But they weren't speaking by the Spirit of God. Amen. And the Bible then finishes with by saying this, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Bible said, Jesus said, why call you me Lord, Lord? This goes back kind of Sunday night, that responsibility. He said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Mary, we know that the Catholics have made much more of Mary than ought to be made of Mary. Amen. She was a blessed woman. She was highly favored. But there at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, she said this, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. I believe when he is Lord, that's exactly what we ought to do. Amen. Is whatever he tells us to do, we ought to do it. I believe tonight with all of my heart, the Lord wants us to glean and to know that he is Lord. Let me give you a verse of scripture tonight. The Bible said, I'm looking for something. Let me get here just a minute. Look at verse number 19 in Matthew chapter number 5. I'll start with verse 17. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets, Jesus said. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. He said, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Watch this now. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I believe, my friend, that the Word of God, you know, it's not just something to observe. It's wonderful to observe it. But if you'll go back to Joshua, here's where the blessing comes from. He said to Joshua, he said, I want you to observe, watch this, to do. I'm going to tell you something right now. Brother Brian, you can nod your head if you've ever been caught up in this as a teacher, as a preacher. Sometimes what we're doing, Brother John, you could nod your head at me too. We're observing to preach. We're observing to teach. We're trying to get something, right? Are you listening to me? We're trying to get something to give the people. And there's nothing wrong with that. We ought to be seeking the face of God, seeking the mind of God. Lord, what do the people need? But I'll tell you something more important than this pastor observing to preach is observing to do. Whatever he says, more importantly than standing here and preaching it to you, is that I do it. That I do it. That I'm obedient to the will of God. And the will of God is the Word of God. And they will not be separated. Amen. The will of God is the Word of God. So here in the Word of God, Jesus tells us, Paul tells us about Jesus. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. No wonder Paul said something like this, I'm crucified with Christ. How many believes he was a great man? I do. Have you ever just thought about for a moment, I don't know if I could name some of the books, what we would do without Romans, what we would do without 1st and 2nd Corinthians, what we would do without 1st and 2nd Timothy, what we would do without 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, what we would do without Colossians, what we would do without Titus, what we would do without Philippians. Are those books precious to you all? You say, well, those are the writings of Paul. No, those are the writings of the Holy Ghost, and God just used Paul to write them down. But he did need an instrument, and he did have an instrument in the Apostle Paul. How many believes God still needs some instruments in these days? Instruments of righteousness, amen. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. That's what you're seeing right there in Romans chapter 6. The flesh can't do it. It's not me, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. No wonder Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I believe chapter 2 or 3 there, he said, I'm determined to know nothing among you. Save, and that word means accept Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Apostle Paul had a list of credentials. Pharisee of the Pharisees, learned at the feet of Gamaliel. He was an intelligent man. He could have come and brought words that would have blown your mind. Amen. Would have caused you to just sit in awe. But he said, I'm not coming to you in man's wisdom. He said, I'm determined to know nothing except Jesus, him crucified. I want to come in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Paul said he took all that, those credentials. He said, I count it all but dung that I might win Christ. What a blessed man. And it's all because he was willing. He didn't want to be exalted. He wanted to be abased. But when a person is abased and humbles himself, God said, I will exalt him. That's just the way that it goes. I believe, I always have believed, that real leadership is not anybody that just wants to stand up and declare, I want to be the leader. Real leadership is pushed up from the bottom. Amen. Real leaders are servants. Amen. Paul said, let's see, 2 Corinthians, I believe it is 4 and 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servant, for Jesus' sake. I tell you, that man didn't have to live like that. But you know what I believe? You know, have you ever heard anybody say something like this? I know you have. We've all said it. You didn't have to do that. How many's ever heard somebody say, you do something nice for somebody or give someone, they say, you didn't have to do that. You know what I like to tell Jesus every once in a while? You didn't have to do that. But I tell you what, for me to be saved, he had to do that. I'm so glad he was willing to do that. Amen. I'm so glad he was willing to take my place on Calvary's tree. Amen. God's given him a name that above every name, at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. You know, we'll get into it next Wednesday night. I'll give you something here. Look down here in verse number 12. He said, wherefore, my beloved. You see that wherefore? It's almost a repeat of Sunday night. He's come along and he's told us all about the redemption. It's by grace. And then you're going to come right into these verses right here and see our responsibility in the grace of God. Look here at this little phrase down here. He said in verse number 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Boy, if this don't fit us in our day and hour, I don't know what does. In the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We have a responsibility to shine. Even among the darkness, even among the crookedness, we have a responsibility to walk with the Lord and to shine. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for these that have come tonight. Lord, I pray that, Lord, sometimes we get kind of low. We get to kind of wondering, Lord. Lord, I know you haven't forgotten us. And I know, Lord, that America's asking for it. And I know, Lord, if we don't repent and we don't turn, we're going to get it. Judgment's coming, Lord. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help your people to shine as lights. Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to realize, Lord, if we will but humble ourselves, Lord, even in this generation, we can make a difference. We can make a difference in someone's life. Lord, I pray tonight for these that have gathered here tonight that you'd stir our hearts. Help us not to be discouraged. Help us not to be despondent. Help us not to be defeated. But help us to realize, our Father, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Help us to go to bed tonight looking for Jesus. To get up in the morning looking for Jesus, living for Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Help us to go throughout the day tomorrow, Lord. Lord, I know that, Lord, there are many tonight that are suffering. I pray, God, that you would exalt them in due time. In Jesus' name, amen.